Hi, everyone, and welcome to Remaking Tomorrow, a series of conversations about the future of teaching and learning. I'm Greg Baer, and together with Ryan Rudzeski, we're the co-authors of When You Wonder, You're Learning, Mr. Rogers' Enduring Lessons for Raising Creative, Curious, Caring Kids. We're also the co-hosts of this podcast, but my friend Ryan isn't here today. Instead, and happily so, I'm here with a special guest host, Emma Swift Lee, Executive Director of the Fred Rogers Institute. Emma, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Hi, Greg. It is so wonderful to be here. This is a podcast powered by Remake Learning, a network that ignites engaging and relevant learning in support of young people navigating rapid social and technological change.
On today's episode, we're talking with Sam Dean, the founding executive director of the Scott Family Amazium. Based in Bentonville, Arkansas, the Amazium is a world-class museum for children and families with exhibits designed to engage the imagination and bring art and science to life. Sam, welcome to Remaking Tomorrow.
Thank you. It is so amazing to be here. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I can't wait to dive into a great conversation with you and Emma today.
All right, Sam. So help us paint a picture in our heads. For listeners who have never had the privilege of visiting the Amazium, what sights and sounds might they take in during an average day? Just help us understand, what is it you hope that visitors feel as they enjoy the Amazium experience?
Emma, I love that you started the question with what will they feel, not just what will they learn or do. The one thing I will take exception to is that there is no such thing as an average day at the Amazium. What we want folks to do, families, when they come visit, kids and their caretakers, we want them to come in and feel welcome. They get a great opportunity to meet with a team on the way in the door to be able to say hello, say that you're loved and valued, and that they should go and explore and get started on their learning adventure. And in fact, the way we built the museum is that when you come in, you don't actually get to see most of the museum until you come in, you meet our great humans at the front, and then you make this corner. And when you turn this corner and you start to go down this hallway, the museum itself starts to reveal itself to you. So you've got art pieces by local muralists full of light and color. You can hear the sound coming from this exhibition gallery, about 20,000 square feet of experiential space indoors. You hear laughter, you hear buzzers, you hear clanging, you hear huzz, and you hear the patter of feet as people are walking, moseying, and running around this gallery. And as the gallery kind of reveals itself, you get a chance to look not just left, right, and straight forward. You get to look up. Every cubic inch of this gallery is full of folks exploring, asking questions, trying things out, and then moving in this wonderful synchrony of exploration and delight and joy.
It's the right kind of loud. Emma, right? Like, you could imagine being there. Every place deserves a museum like this, a children's museum like this. Every community deserves an Amazium. And there are some words that you all use to strategically and deliberately design this place called the Amazium. Emma and I took notice of words like curiosity, creativity, and our favorite, risk making. So tell us, how do these principles go together in that experience that families and their kids have at the Amazium?
When we were building the Amazium, and I was fortunate to have been here from the early days to help found this place, we really thought about, what is this museum about? What's our core ideology? And curiosity and creativity were at the core. How do we build a place that really isn't about answers? It's about finding juicy questions and letting you explore them. It's creative, you know, as Sir Ken Robinson says, creativity is imagination put to work. So you get to build things, you get to take things apart, you get to look inside. And we think about risk-making and risk-taking, gosh, well, it's when we're trying new things, when we're doing them for the first time, you're at the greatest opportunity to learn. If you're doing the same thing over and over, you've done 1,000 times, you might be practicing, but boy, when you're on the edge of trying to learn what it means like to climb on these little leaf blades that are taking you up 36 feet in the air, and when you first try it, you might be scared. Next time, you might get a little bit higher, and boy, by your fourth or fifth time, you're ready to really kind of take over and share with younger kids who are on there. You're risk-taking, but you're also kind of showing what it looks like to be on this journey, this arc of exploring and getting better at navigating this world.
You're talking so much about exploring, and I know that the Amazium has a lot to explore. You have a tinkering hub and water play spaces. There's even a homestead farm and a cabin. So can you tell us about what each of these different spaces really uniquely offer to guests?
When we were in the process of planning what the suite of experiences that would go in here would look like, we spent a lot of time in our community trying to get a sense of what was important to them and then trying to figure out how to turn these into hands-on science and art-rich experiences. So places like the homestead, our community had said, hey, we have a disappearing landscape of Ozark cultural farms and cabins. And so wouldn't it be great if we could have a replica of one, let kids sort of come in and get a chance to experience and play. By the way, this was one of the largest apple producing places in the country 70, 80 years ago. So we got a little apple orchard there. You get a chance to pick and play and move things around. You've got cave to explore. Of course, karst topography and caves and caverns are so important here. We have a chance to work with our neighbors here who have distribution centers from Walmart. The idea that getting something from here to there is really important here in the middle part of the country. In fact, one of the largest concentrations of trucking businesses in the country. And so the idea of moving things from here to there and conveyor belts and trucks are really important. So the idea that you can think about kinetic movement by loading things on and moving your own conveyor belts to get things along and sort them along the bottom level, move them up into an upper container. You know, what we want to do is connect the localness of our community with the deep, rich exploration that you find in STEM and arts.
Sam, you've served as the Amazium's executive director since the museum's founding in 2012. Safe to say, your enthusiasm has not dissipated at all. It's coming right through the sound waves. We're curious, how has your own leadership evolved over those years? Because I imagine you're as much a playful participant as you are a strategic leader. How have you changed and evolved over these years as the museum has evolved too?
It's been such an interesting journey. Over the 10 years, the Amazium has grown incredibly. We've gone from a museum of 30 to 40 people to over 100. We're in the middle of an expansion campaign and adding another 12,000 square feet. To our 50,000 square feet. We're putting exhibitions in our neighbors' locations and at the airport. So we've been growing throughout this. And what I found is my own leadership style, the ways and systems that we worked when we opened the museum, we could all fit around a big table back then, is that we've just had to change. And what is it like to kind of grow a more complex business, a place that is making impact in lots of different ways that we had only dreamed about when we opened the doors? And myself, I've had to learn what does it mean to grow in a larger organization and figure out ways to support and build and sustain systems that weren't needed when we were much smaller. In fact, we're getting coaching right now as an executive team to think about how do we build these systems so that our last 10 will be even more impactful over our next 10.
This is Greg Baer, here with guest co-host Emma Swift Lee, and we're talking with Sam Dean, Executive Director of the Scott Family Amazium.
Sam, children's museums are such incredible spaces that spark creative, hands-on learning for kids and the grown-ups that get to come along. I know that we love our incredible children's museum here in Pittsburgh, so I'm curious, what's one lesson that the Amazium has learned from other children's museums around the country or even around the world?
One of my favorite museums in the country is in your backyard there in Pittsburgh too. We've learned a lot from them directly. It's hard to point to one lesson because we've learned so much. And in fact, still being within our first 10 years, we continue to learn from museums. And I think maybe that might be the lesson that's important. It's really the thing I love about the Association of Children's Museums and Science Centers is this radical ability to share deeply and profoundly your work, the ability to share what you know and be able to ask for support in return really enables museums to get better and to get better quickly. So both in terms of being able to lean on our peers across the country, the ability to share business details, to be able to think about the state of the field, to think about advancement in learning sciences, and then to turn around and feel the responsibility to thoughtfully, intentionally share our work proactively. Right? So that we can get out there and be able to use this educational research learning laboratory that we've created and be able to share with other peers who are able to benefit from what's happening here in Northwest Arkansas.
I love that phrase, the radical ability to share. Mm-hmm. And we record this podcast at SLB Radio, which is located in the basement of the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. And the Children's Museum and SLB Radio and all of the partners on this campus, I would say, have that radical ability to share. And I know you share that sensibility clearly at the Amazium. So I'm curious, the flip side of the question that Emma asked you, and that's this. What's one thing that the Amazium itself does really well that you'd like to see other children's museums take up? Or actually, let me say, not just children's museums, other sites of learning, other schools, other early learning centers. What are some of the things that you experience and do there that any learning site ought to be doing or ought to be thinking about?
Well, Greg, you asked me to pick one thing.
We'll let you pick two or three if you want to go that high, Sam.
For us, it's really about sharing, we think, with our formal education community and radically change how we think about how kids learn through their lives. This idea that we learn most of what we learn in schools is something that's really kind of a falsity, right? Most of our time we spend, even growing up, are outside of school environments. They're spent on the playing field, they're spent at places like museums, they're spent at libraries.
At home.
How do we honor and connect the type of learning that happens across a community? And how do we pull all of those players together to better serve the very same kids and families that are coming to all of our places, places of faith? Another example, I think places like Pittsburgh, that with the Remake Learning Network, it's a group that really inspired us and to start building our own learning ecosystem here, this ecosystem approach in Northwest Arkansas. And I think children's museums can and should play a really radical role at the center of these kinds of ecosystems in every community. We're better together, we're stronger together, and we can make the most change together.
And Sam, you're talking about pulling everyone together to be partners in learning. And I know that the Amazium works really hard to support and work with local educators through things like professional development and support for maker education, and by offering what you call unfield trips. So can you tell us more about your partnerships with educators?
You know, we know that our work with our educational community in schools and in other out-of-school time learning locations is critically valuable. In fact, when we built the Amazium, we created from the get-go a professional learning group. So a group of folks who are really dedicated to thinking about educational practice, supporting the opportunity, not just for classrooms to come visit the museum, which is, of course, we did. We call these unfield trips. They're kind of a counterpoint to a lot of other field trips in the area. We work deeply with educators before they come in, help align their expectations for the trip, help align a little bit of their curricular practice coming in, and help support them afterwards. But we also want to work with educators in time where they're thinking about their own practice. So we spend time building cohorts of learners around maker-centered education, around science competency in the state. And then how do we think about system building? How do we think about the systems of education around us and thinking about transforming practice and what is valued for learning there? So for us, we really want to support educators at multiple touch points, because it really enables us to think about supporting kids and families, again, in the classroom, at home, and out in that broader community.
Sam, there's so much that we want to know about you. You're a remarkable and eloquent champion for the Amazium. And we want to know a little bit more about the place where you reside and about you, Sam Dean. So we're going to close our conversation today with a bit of a lightning round. First things that come to mind, are you ready to play?
Wait, let me stretch. I don't want to pull a hamstring here.
Well, we'll start with an easy one before we turn to the personal question. What's something special about Bentonville, the home of the Amazium, that we may not know?
Northwest Arkansas just sort of is at a moment in time where there's lightning in a bottle. The communities that make up this region, it's really a distributed nature of different communities that have all come together, are all growing at the same time, and they're working together in a way I have never seen in any place I've lived in the U.S. So that togetherness is power.
And when I had a chance to visit, I learned it's the mountain biking capital of America, or at least one of them. Isn't that right?
It is the mountain biking capital of the U.S. In fact, the U.S. Olympic mountain biking team is based out of Northwest Arkansas now. And for a while, Northwest Arkansas had the only moving walkway in the state of Arkansas.
Well, there's some things.
It's all happening here.
All right, Sam Dean, outside of your work with the Amazium, what's one way that you pursue playful learning in your own life?
I'm a tool neophyte. You know, we in the Amazium, we think a lot about maker-centric learning. We have an active creative studio that's building for other folks. So I'm learning how to use different tools, which I didn't do kind of growing up. I love learning new tools. I'm also learning how to mountain bike because when I moved here, that was not in my experience set.
And thinking back on your own learning journey, Sam, who's an educator in your life that inspired your curiosity, creativity, and risk making?
When I think about my own journey, I think a lot about, ironically, it was another Mr. Rogers. It was Mr. Steve Rogers, my junior high teacher, who was so good about taking the curriculum that the scope and sequence that he had to do and really kind of moving it to the side and allowing us as kids to be able to ask questions, treating us like really valued learners in the experience, allowing us to do things outside of what our other classmates might have been able to do. And I think that was really one of the earliest moments where I saw what a really powerful educational approach it can be to giving us agency over what we were doing in the classroom.
We all need a Mr. Rogers in our lives. Sam, before we go, just one more question. What's one thing that parents and educators can do today to make tomorrow a more promising place for every learner?
Parents, share what you love to do with your kids. Be intentional about it. Be open about it. Show your struggles with what you're doing. Unpack your own mind as you're in the kitchen, as you're working in the garage, as you're doing other things that might be just expedient for you. But this is often your approach to playful learning are in these different spaces. Invite your kids in, let them participate in it, and then use that as a moment to draw closer with your kids.
Sam, what you're saying reminds me of one of my very favorite Fred Rogers quotes about teachers are people who love what they do and they love it in front of others. Thank you again to Sam Dean, Executive Director of the Scott Family Amazium. Remaking Tomorrow is powered by Remake Learning. Learn more at remakelearning.org.